Good morning, or perhaps afternoon, whenever you're watching this. Welcome to the Bernie Miklas Show here on YouTube. Thank you for subscribing to my YouTube channel, and thank you for all the comments that you leave, and thank you very much for hitting the like button. You're a big help, and I enjoy doing these for you and reading all your comments. Well, Mizzou, Brady Cook, where do I begin? What Brady Cook did Saturday in Columbia, coming back from a hospital, coming back from a ride to and from the hospital on a truck, all hope was lost, or just about every little bit of hope was lost with Mizzou down by a couple touchdowns. Returning to a game when it was reported that he was highly unlikely to return to the game, and they're working on the ankle. Just, and you're like, well, the season's over. Maybe the season's over in terms of this National College Football Playoff. Like, realistic, you know, I think every Mizzou fan would admit it deep down inside. Before Brady Cook did what he did, you had to be thinking, well, this would be their second loss and two in a row. And, you know, look, this college football playoff thing, it just ain't going to happen. But then Brady Cook happened, and he not only saved homecoming, and what a great crowd it was in Columbia yesterday. He not only saved homecoming, the Mizzou quarterback from St. Louis saved their season. And when I say save their season, not it's like this win puts them in the playoff. I'm not saying that at all, but a loss may have knocked them out of any shot whatsoever for the National College Football Playoff 12-team tournament. So he definitely saved the homecoming day, and everybody left happy. And he definitely saved Mizzou's season, at least like as it had to be saved right now, that day, that moment, that situation, to avoid that loss to an Auburn team that ain't very good. So a little sneaky tough, but ain't very good. So he left the fans happy. Brady Cook did, with this incredible comeback. Coach Eli Drinkwitz in the locker room, and actually talking to the media afterwards, you know, broke down in tears, just talking about Brady Cook, who's like a son to him. And Eli Drinkwitz has always backed him 100% and never at any point has ever wavered when Brady Cook's not having a good day, his accuracy's not very good. You know, fans get some, not all, so get impatient. They want to see a backup, whatever it may be. My only problem with Brady Cook through the years is just that, you know, the deep ball and the numbers on passes 20 yards plus weren't what they should be. Yet last season was an exception. And even this year, his accuracy just hasn't been very good. It's not a personal attack. I love Brady Cook. I love to see him do well. But when you're the quarterback in an S of any quarterback anywhere, but if you're a quarterback for an SEC program, you know, you're just held to a really, really high standard. And those standards are not easy to hit. And they're certainly not easy to hit every game. So yeah, Brady Cook takes some guff. He sure does. It's an occupational hazard though. Again, let's not get carried away with this, but Eli Drinkwitz loves that quarterback. He loves that person. He loves Brady Cook. And so Eli's talking about what he did yesterday and what it meant to the team. And he wasn't going to quit. And he realized he only had 2.5 games left in his career, specifically at Faurot Field. And so Eli couldn't hold back. He went all Dick Vermeil on us three times, and the teardrops came, right? Well, if you thought that coach was crying, imagine how Auburn coach Hugh Freeze had to feel. I think he was crying more in the other team's locker room because Auburn had that game in the bag. And I'm sure Hugh Freeze is probably thinking in his head, what are they going to say about me now? I wonder what they're going to say about me now. How you like that? Yeah, we can come into Columbia and beat a ranked Mizzou team. Yeah, we knock their quarterback out. We can shut their offense down. What y'all going to say about me now when that plane lands back in Auburn? I think it probably Hugh Freeze was crying more than Eli. And when you're up by two touchdowns, the other team doesn't have its quarterback for a long time. You know, you got to put that game away. And they tried, but they failed. And I think if Brady Cook put a charge in his team by coming back, yeah, he certainly did, to say the least. You know, he got an MRI at the hospital on that ankle. And when he came back and returned to the game, you know, he kind of got the paddles out and charged Mizzou and brought Mizzou back to life in a football way. But if you're Hugh Freeze in Auburn, it's like, what is that boy doing running out here off full speed? He was limping all around. I thought maybe, you know, he's going to come out on a cast or something. What's he doing sprinting through the tunnel? What is this? And, you know, Auburn went down again. This time is improbably as any game, you know, this season for them, although I'm not going to catalog their games for you. I hope you understand. I don't know how to describe this other than me. I'm just talking because I'm just trying to share my emotions and observations. And so I'll keep repeating, he not only saved homecoming, Brady Cook, but he saved the season as it stands now, as far as any aspirations, high aspirations. So I'm like, well, what, you know, we all love those corny sports films, right? So what do we compare it to? And I'm thinking about Rudy, the Notre Dame walk-on. Well, Brady Cook, no, he's not a walk-on. He didn't, like, you know, work on the practice squad or taxi squad or whatever you want to call it, only to get in one game late, you know, for Notre Dame. It's just not the parallel doesn't work. Sorry. Underdog story. Yeah. But Brady Cook was an underdog because he was basically ruled out of returning, and he comes back sprinting through the tunnel. He comes back and he leads Mizzou to a highly unlikely victory. But no, Rudy, uh-uh. I was thinking, well, man, who doesn't love Rocky? You know, the original Rocky. Nobody thought Mizzou was going. I don't think many people thought Mizzou was going to win when they were down two touchdowns and didn't have a quarterback. And no disrespect to Drew Pine. What I just said there is unfair. It was a tough spot for him, the backup. But here's the thing about the Rocky comparison. You know, people tend to forget that Rocky lost the fight. I'm talking about the original Rocky. He lost. So, no, we got to throw that one out. Well, Bernie, I know it's baseball, but what about the natural? What about Roy Hobbs? And he was hurt, and he was unable to play for a long time, but he toughed it out. And just when they needed him, he pinch hit and hit the huge home run. And, oh, my gosh, you know, power light towers, you know, light towers are exploding and there's fireworks and there's all the dramatic music. It kind of a Roy Hobbs thing, right? No, not really. You know why? Because I'm a stickler for the book of the natural. And in the book, the great Kinsella novel, Roy Hobbs struck out in that game and they changed it to have the Hollywood ending. I'm sorry, man. I go with how the book ended. So Brady Cook did not strike out, right? He did return action, and he was hurting. He did not strike out. And then I'm thinking, well, how about the Kirk Gibson home run? 1988, World Series Game 1, Tony La Russa and the Oakland A's, prohibitive favorites. Kirk Gibson, who just had one good leg, you know, and there was even a serious question of whether he would even be physically capable of pinch hitting. Well, you know what happened. He hits a ninth inning pinch hit walk-off home run to just stun the A's, who never recovered, and to lift the Dodgers in every way that you can be lifted. But hold on now. We've all seen that video of Kirk Gibson slowly making his way around the bases after hitting that one of the greatest home runs in the history of baseball, right? And he was running slow, real slow, not because he was trying to milk the dramatic moment. It's not like he was someone who said, well, if I look like I'm hurt and I'm going real slow, people will always remember, oh, that guy, man, he could barely make it around the bases. So, look, he was in a lot of pain. It was an unbelievable accomplishment. Here's the difference between that and Brady Cook. Well, first of all, this ain't the World Series and it ain't baseball. But work with me on this, all right? The Oakland A's weren't trying to tackle Kyle Gibson. Kirk, see, I'm really wound up. Hey, Kyle Gibson, Mizzou grad, all right? So not a bad error. No, the Oakland A's were not trying to tackle Kirk Gibson as he was making his way around the bases to put his foot on home plate to officially make it a miraculous win. No, he didn't have to worry about like 5 or 10 Oakland A's coming out of the dugouts to like tackle him, throw him down to the ground, hold him down. No. In fact, when Brady Cook got back in the game yesterday, he got sacked 2 or 3 times. Then I thought, and this is so bad because I'm like, well, I'm running out of things to suggest. What about the miracle on ice? No, with all due respect and love to Brady Cook, there's only one miracle on ice. You can't compare anything to it. However, me being clever, and by the way, this is sarcasm. I'm not actually saying I'm being clever. Me being clever with wordplay, I will say it wasn't the miracle on ice, but I do know this. Mizzou's season was on very thin ice before Brady Cook came in and rescued the Tigers and just gave those Mizzou alums, and gosh, what a great homecoming it is at that school, made those Mizzou alums who came back for homecoming, gave them a memory to remember. And it made it even better that it looked like Mizzou was down and just about out. Like there was resignation in the stands, and I don't blame anyone. That's how I felt watching it at home. What are you going to do? The quarterback got hurt, and what are you going to do? You know, well, Brady Cook decided to do something, and it was really one of the great sporting performances I've seen, certainly at Mizzou. And but just in general, given what was at stake. Now, people in national media would laugh at this. Oh, you beat Auburn. So what? You know, we're not impressed. Missing the point. 100% missing the point. We're talking about a local kid. His dream was to play quarterback for Mizzou. That's all he ever dreamed of. He had to pay his dues. He's been beat up. And I'm talking about playing one season with a torn labrum and his throwing shoulder. And we were all, including me, saying, he's just not that good. Well, we didn't know he was hurt. So there's no reason to feel guilty about saying that. I know I don't, because they never told us he was injured. Not that they had an obligation to, but I'm just saying we didn't know the circumstance in which he was trying to operate. You got a torn muscle in your shoulder? Yeah, probably going to make you a little less accurate than you want to be, to say the least. But this was just a great Mizzou moment. It was a great Mizzou moment. So if we talk about, well, what do we call this game? I went through all the schlocky, you know, storylines, the film comeback kid stuff, miracles, and all that stuff. It's just, to me, it'll always be known as, and this is hardly an original thought, by the way, it'll always be known as the Brady Cook game. And that's fine with me. I mean, I think 10, 20 years from now, people that were there, just people who love Mizzou football, love Mizzou, period. Remember that Brady Cook game? Remember the Brady Cook game when they're reliving some of these memories? And it's really good because Mizzou kind of needed one of those things. Because what do we think about with the Mizzou, some of the weird things that have happened to Mizzou, you know, fifth down. You remember the fifth down game? People still write about it, talk about it. Remember, I don't even know what they called it when Mizzou had Nebraska beat and, there was – there's a throw into the end zone and it goes, somebody kicks it and it ends up, I think his name was Matt Davison, just lands with him and they win the game on was it called the kick six? I don't know what it was called, but we sure remember that, unfortunately. Well, this is, and I'm not trying to say that this is like the ultimate Mizzou game day comeback story. I'm not saying like it's the greatest. This was the greatest moment in Mizzou football history. I'm not saying that. But when you catalog all of these incredible moments, some of them really heartbreaking, and then you get to have one, the column of the miracle stuff, you know, hasn't been able to measure up to some of the really weird, crazy, stupid, totally unfair stuff that's happened to Mizzou football, like the fifth down and the kick six or whatever that was called. This one kind of, hey, you get to put one in the good column now, right? And man, how good was he? I mean, how good was he under the circumstances? This one transcends stats, but I will tell you this, his final throw passing attempt of the third quarter was one of the biggest plays in the game. That 78-yard catch and run by Mookie Cooper. So that was the beginning of all of this. I like something that happened when Brady Cook came into the game too, and I should have put this first. My apologies. First, before I told you about Mookie Cooper. I like the fact Brady Cook, after the stunning reappearance, right? I like the fact that the first play, Luther Burden, go deep. I'm going to show these people over there, and I'm going to show everyone else. I came here to win. We ain't fooling around. Go deep. Let's hit one long. Let's hit one deep. Now, it didn't work. You know what? It wasn't close to being a completion. But I just like the message it sent. It's like, yeah, I'm in the game, but I plan to do everything I got to do to win this thing. I'm not going to sit here and limp around and throw these little 3-yard passes. No, let's go for six right now. And I just love the attitude of that. I love the attitude of that. So starting with the Mookie Cooper catch, this is the only statistic I'm going to give you. Starting with that Mookie Cooper catch and run. And that set up the touchdown that made it 17-14. You know, and starting with that play, and I apologize because I'm just trying to piece my thoughts together because I don't do teleprompter. Brady Cook was 8-for-16, 157 yards. He had more yards passing in that time than the Auburn quarterback had the whole game. And his accuracy was really good. Now, I know I said he was 8-for-16, but that doesn't tell the story. It just doesn't. There were a couple throwaways. He was under pressure. He did get sacked a couple of times. Sometimes you just got to throw it away. You know, I think in the fourth quarter, there were 3 sacks and 6 pressures, but he was on target 70% of the time. And he's had a problem with his accuracy. I mentioned Friday what his on-target percentage was going into this game. It wasn't good at all. In fact, it was the worst among SEC quarterbacks. It was 57%. That's not good. And in the fourth quarter of this game, his on-target percentage was just about 70%. I mean, he was throwing some darts out there. It was really, really impressive considering everything. But for him to ride over to the hospital in a truck and then to come back in the truck and they're working on him, you know, it's like, I'm going to date myself here, but I know there's some people who watch 70s television. You know, it's like the MASH unit's working on him. You know, where was Hawkeye, right? Where was Radar? Where was everybody? Anyway, bad analogy, sorry. But to do what he did and how quickly he did it. I mean, the first touchdown drive was 4 plays, 80 yards. It took 34 seconds, right? The second touchdown drive, which was the game winner, started from his own 5-yard line, 17 plays, 95 yards. Now think about that, 17 plays, 95 yards. It only took 3 minutes and 40 seconds. So he came blazing sprinting out of the tunnel, and then he basically quarterbacked his offense in the same manner, man. He was in the warp speed mode, fast forward mode. Let's jump ahead in here. Let's go. You know, there was nothing slow or methodical about it. It's like go, 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 go. I love that, man. Four plays, 80 yards in 34 seconds, and then 17 played, 95 yards, only 3 minutes and 40 seconds. And listen, you know what he did. You know, the big fourth down conversion, he had two really big third down conversions. And oh, by the way, he also had a really important run when Mizzou was backed up on its own 5 yard line. First pass of that series was, this is the second touchdown drive. It was a situation where he, threw an incomplete pass, and then, you know, so they're in big trouble there. But next play, Brady Cook takes off and runs for 9 yards, and then they were able to make the first down and keep on going. And he also ran in on a 2-point conversion. So he was running it, he was throwing it, he had tremendous on target accuracy. Even if it didn't end up in a completion, you can be on target and not have it go as a completion. And throughout all of this, who knows how much he was hurting? He didn't look hurt, but having the extra strength, really extra strength, pain reliever, he was able to gut it out, and he gutted it out. And I don't know what's going to his fate will be or his condition will be as Mizzou gets ready to play at Alabama next Saturday. But I thought this was just a wonderful moment. It was a magical moment. It was a Mizzou moment. It was the Brady Cook game. And anyone who saw it, TV, otherwise, at Faurot Field, you're out in the parking lots tailgating. You're not in the game, but you're right outside tailgating, watching on TV. Maybe some of you had commitments yesterday. That happens. Maybe some of you watched it late at night. You know, you recorded it and then watched it. Whoever saw it, whoever is going to read about it, whoever's going to write it, and I'm talking about 5 years from now, I'm talking about 20 years from now, I'm talking about 30 years from now, it's going to be known as, hey, remember that day? Remember the Brady Cook game? That's what we all saw, and it was a privilege to watch. And Mizzou wrote its own corny sports movie happy ending, right? Except it's real. Except it really happened. So Mizzou's 6-1 overall, 2-1 in the SEC, same record as Texas. And I'm not saying Mizzou is good as Texas. I'm just saying. So what do they do for an encore? And I hope that Brady Cook's healthy enough to take a stand down there at Alabama. But it was a pleasure reliving this with you. Don't be too hard on me if I forgot something, because to me, this was just speaking from emotion and trying to capture what an incredible performance we saw under the most improbable circumstances at one point in the fourth quarter. Well, no, actually, Drew Pine was still playing backup. But at one point, Nebraska's win probability, their percentage of winning, was 94.3%. Those were the odds against what Brady Cook did. So I tell you what, even if you weren't there or you didn't watch it live, it's okay. You know what? You can say you did. You can say you were there. I think sports fans do that a lot. And you know what? It's okay, because you just want to be part of the crowd that says, oh yeah, I was there. You know, do whatever you want. Brady Cook did, right? You didn't expect him to come back, and he did. So if you weren't really there, you'd say you were there. You were there in spirit, and you were there with your heart, and that's all that matters, right? All right, enough of me. You all have a great, pleasant rest of your Sunday, and thank you for watching The Bernie Show here on YouTube, my YouTube channel. Sorry. See, I'm still flustered. Thank you.